Welcome to the Oldie Podcast. This is from our literary lunch featuring guest speakers and kindly sponsored by Charles Stanley Wealth Managers. Our lunches are held monthly. Details and how to book can be found in our magazine and on the website at www.theoldie.co.uk.
Our next speaker has become extremely famous for doing absolutely nothing. He's Tom Hodgson, and 30 years ago he set up the Eiger magazine, has written the best-selling books How to Be Idle, How to Be Free, and The Idle Parent. In fact, his wicked secret is that he's extremely hard-working and a terrific journalist, not least in the Oldie, where he is our hallowed Town Mouse columnist. He's here to talk about his latest book, which is called XXX, which sounds like a thrilling, sex-filled book. In fact, it's even more exciting than that. They're the Roman numerals for 30, obviously, and it's about 30 years of the idler. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Hodgson.
Harry, thanks so much, and thanks for having me here. The Oldie is a beautiful magazine. Harry always says it's the best magazine in the world. Well, maybe. But I wanted to say that the Oldie has helped us enormously over the years, and I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Harry and James at the Oldie are wonderful supporters and enthusiasts for all sorts of people, all sorts of ideas. When we relaunched the Idler magazine about 6 or 7 years ago, James was incredibly generous and shared all his business knowledge, all the specialist stuff you need to know about publishing with us. So far from being sort of rivals, we're great pals. Now, the idea for the Idler magazine started with Dr. Johnson, and I was about 22 or 23 and trying to be a freelance journalist. I'd had 1 year working in a skateboarding shop and a record shop called Rough Trade, which had actually been fantastic fun. It was very different from my kind of Oxbridge-y previous life, where I studied English. These were young people who were producing their own magazines, they were running their own small businesses. Some of them turned into big skateboard businesses today. There were bands and musicians, and a lot of them didn't have jobs. And they were making their way through life sort of on their wits. Now, I decided after a year of doing this, so I better get down to having a proper job. And I did get a job kind of by luck at a magazine called the Sunday Mirror magazine. And that was the sort of tail end of the Maxwell era. And this was quite a very popular tabloid magazine run by a fearsome matriarch who was absolutely terrified of. Anyway, and I was here for about 2 years. I sort of hated every moment. I hated commuting. I hated getting up early. I hated sort of working for someone else in this very sort of big-headed way. I wanted to write for the Independent magazine, which at that time was edited by Harry's predecessor on the Oldie, Alexander Chancellor, a brilliant journalist, of whom more later. And luckily, I was sacked after 2 years of this. The editor said, OK, you can go home. So I went home. I left Holborn Circus. Got back on the bus and went on to sign on the Dole, and I was 22 or 23. But over the last 2 or 3 years, I'd conceived this idea of a magazine called The Idler. Where did The Idler come from? I mentioned Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson wrote a series of essays called The Idler for another magazine, The Gentleman's Magazine. And I picked these up when I was living in a room in Portobello Road, sort of basically poor and angry with myself for being so lazy. I had days off when I'd say, I've got to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, work really hard, send off my ideas. And I'd set the alarm for 8, turn it off, wake up an hour later, snooze, go downstairs, have some breakfast, go upstairs, have a bath. It was 12, play Tetris, the computer game, and then sort of erupt in this fury at myself. Why can't I work harder? Why can't I sort of do better in life? And then I read Dr. Johnson's this magazine, or this column, The Idler. And in issue one of The Idler, which came out in 1758, he was already very successful. You know, he said, every man is, or hopes to be, an idler. So what's the point of all this work? It's to get to some idleness at the end, or the retirement, or the weekend. What's the point of work? Well, I was beginning to wonder, I hadn't enjoyed my work at the Sunday Mirror, and I felt a bit like a sort of semi-slave being stuck in this job I didn't enjoy. And I thought, the other thing about Dr. Johnson was that he couldn't get out of bed in the morning either. And although people, you know, he was incredibly productive, as you know, he wrote the first English dictionary, he wrote countless essays, poems, he had the time to be super witty with Boswell, Garrick, and Reynolds in the evenings at the club and so on and so forth. He took trips to the Highlands and Islands, he wrote novels. He was given a pension by the king in later life of about, equivalent to about 30, 40 grand a year just to do nothing. But he was deep down indolent, constitutionally lazy and an idler. So this column, The Idler, he was sort of talking about his own habits. But what appealed to me was that he said, well, how did you get all this work done? Well, he didn't get out of bed till 10, 12, sometimes 2 o'clock. In the afternoon, he distracted himself from his own sort of tendency to melancholy by doing chemistry experiments. So if you went to visit him in the afternoon, he'd be covered in black smoke in his garret somewhere around here. When did he write? Well, he wrote right on the deadline. So as the deadline was, let's say it's 5 o'clock on Thursday for this magazine, the printer's boy would be knocking on his door and saying, where is it, where is it? And he'd be writing each page on manuscripts, and the boy would take each page as it came from under his pen and run down to the printer and then run back for the next page. He didn't even read over what he'd written. But it was brilliant. Why? Because of the idleness that preceded it. So then I realized that, you know, idling is, for anyone who's doing anything creative or anything, really, you need thinking time, you need reflection time. The work ethic that we've sort of been conditioned with, is just one way of looking at things and may even be a way for the top-hatted mill-earning capitalists to enslave us all. So I started to think about this magazine. Wouldn't it be lovely? What a beautiful word as well, The Idler, to bring out all the positive aspects of idling. I had a friend, Gavin, who was a great graphic designer. He'd done the Modern Review. I also realized I was surrounded by really talented people. You know, we had a young Louis Theroux writing in the first issue, for example, fantastic photographers. And I just wouldn't let this idea go. My friend Toby Young said, this magazine, The Idler, that's never going to happen. It's never going to come out, is it? Ha ha, Toby, because your magazine only lasted about 2 years, The Modern Review. Another prediction Toby made, I remember, was this internet thing, this internet fad. It's just CB radio for the 90s. Well, that reminds me about, I'll come back in a minute to our sort of very slow growth as a magazine. We launched issue one in 1993, and as Harry said, it's now 2024, so we've been going for 31 years. One or 2 years after we started, we heard about a new company that was just beginning, which specialised in packaging up books and sending them out mail order to people who ordered them via computer, called Amazon. How we scoffed at this stupid idea. And in those days, you know, it was just really just me and Gav, maybe one other person in a room in West London with a couple of computers. 31 years later, it's me and my wife in a room in West London with two computers. So it's been a very slow growth project. And when we started, people thought it was just like a kind of one-joke magazine. The Telegraph says, the editor will need imagination to keep the joke going. That was 30 years ago. Private Eye also attacked it. Well, at first I was slightly upset, but it was quite a witty attack. And also everyone says, you know, if Private Eye attack you, you've made it. And they said, The Idler is a one-joke Will Self fanzine staffed by friends of the former junkie. So there's this idea that, and Will did actually write for the magazine then. It was he was good then. So, and after 2 or 3 years, Gavin and me, my friend who started it, we got a job at The Guardian, which is great. I wrote a piece for them saying, called Why I Don't Want a Job, a column. And 2 weeks after that, they offered me a full-time job. Running their sort of special ideas department, which was a sort of slightly bullshitty department, but I'm not exactly sure what we even did. We were there for 3 or 4 years, and that was really good fun. During that time, you know, people now say, well done for having kept it going for so long. Probably not even in your wildest dreams would it have succeeded like this. And I say, well, actually, my dreams were quite a lot wilder for its success. When we were at The Guardian, we had a meeting with the editor of The Observer, and I was about 27, and he said, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? You know, when people ask you that in businesses, you know, boring question. And I said, in 5 years' time, Andrew, I see myself at the centre of a vast Playboy-style publishing empire, sitting next to a snail-shaped swimming pool in California with a huge mobile phone, telling people to do things with idler nightclubs in every single town. So I'm actually quite disappointed by how badly it's gone since then. How long have I got, Harry?
You have got 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, well, I'll sort of wind up. We've had all sorts. I mean, there have been highs and lows. It's wonderful, as Harry will know, any journalist knows, it's a brilliant thing to do, because you can be interested in someone on Monday and then they're pouring their hearts out to you on Thursday, and I've met so many fantastic people. It's also wonderful to have that freedom to put together your own magazine. But the business side, that's more difficult. Gavin and I had this idea that you would just produce a magazine and people would buy it without putting any effort into selling it or marketing. And we were proved. That's what publishers specialise in. So they just like throw it out there. The Guardian helped us for 3 years. We then left and moved to another company, which was the publisher of Manchester United magazine. I don't know why they were interested in us. Actually, that was a bit old school tie, because he was a friend from university. And they dumped it after a year. We then self-published. It was published by Ebury. And then I really put it on the back burner for many years to concentrate on book writing. My wife and I moved out of London to fulfil a kind of silly Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall self-sufficient life dream, and lived on a small holding for 12 years. And we ran the magazine down. Then we opened a... this was probably the worst idea ever. We decided to open a shop, a bookseller, a coffee house, as we called it, using the 18th century terms. Bookseller and coffee house, called the Idler Academy in London. The subtitle was Libertas per Cultum, Freedom Through Education. And we would have a shop where we would sell books and have coffee and cakes, and people in the evening would come and take Latin classes. Well, my friend John Brown, who's a multi-millionaire publisher, he published Viz, he came round to look at it one day and said, well, what is this thing then? And I said, well, it was a... we're going to have, you know, ukulele classes in the evening and Latin. You know, it's a salon. People will hang out. And he sort of, yes, I see. Midlife crisis centre. Marginal at best. And he was quite right. 4.5 years later, we closed down, completely defeated by rents and rates and things like this. And also being a really crap boss, because just having been to a bookshop doesn't mean you can run one. And I was a terrible, sort of, imagine David Brent meets John Cleese. In a shop, working 14 hours a day. So anyway, we met Alexander Chancellor, who said, look, you should close that down. And, you know, what happened to the Idler magazine? My wife is now working with me. We relaunched it about 6 or 7 years ago. It's going okay. So, and again, thanks to... And in fact, last year, we made our first profit. And we're really happy about this. I think it was about £10,000. And the previous 29 years, it'd been somehow bailed out by other work, you know, book writing, other businesses and projects that had sort of bailed out the Idler. Anyway, and so I told this story. I met Dominic Lawson, who edited The Spectator from 1990 to 1995 at a party. And I told him this story in sort of self-deprecating manner. You know, it only took us, it's a very slow growth company, it took us 30 years to make a profit. And he said, well, by comparison with The Spectator, you're like a sort of fast growth startup in Silicon Valley. I don't know whether he was boasting or not, but he said when he edited the magazine in 1990 to 1995, I think in 1993, it made its first profit. This was a magazine that was launched in July 1828. It took them 137 years to make a profit. So I think we should be quite pleased with ourselves. Thanks very much for coming. Thank you, Harry.
Thank you so much, Tom. That is a terrific magazine, The Idler.
You have been listening to The Oldie Podcast. Please share this episode. Look out for The Oldie Magazine subscription offer on our website, www.theoldie.co.uk. Thank you and good luck.